The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, that was good. Thank you. Let's take our Bible and go back, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 19. I want you to look at verses 26 and 27, where the Bible says, "And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved. And he saith unto his, mother, Woman, behold thy son." And the Bible says in verse 27, as we read just a moment ago, and he's talking, of course, to this is John the beloved. "Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother." And the Bible says, "And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." And he was very concerned, even though it was the bleakest, most, from the human standpoint, tragic day in his life, he still looked out and took care of his mother. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today, and God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, this is a very important day, a day we can come together only one day a year and just recognize those that we love so very deeply, and that is our mothers. Bless, we do pray this service here now, please. Touch it and use it only like you can. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just give you six basic points on six ways to love your mother. Six ways, very practical today. You're not going to get a lot of deep theology today. We're not going to sit around, if you would please, and be able to discover truths that are below the surface. This is just kind of right out there where we live, but I think very important to us. I want you to get the background, if you will. Of course, as I started to state just a moment ago, this is the day, of course, where Mary, the mother of our Lord, is standing there. It's crucifixion day, and she is standing there at the very feet of her son, and she looks up, and no doubt her heart is stricken. No doubt her heart is moved like only a mother's heart could be moved in facing what she is facing in that present hour. And so she looks up and she sees her son on the cross. Now, as he looks down and he sees mother, he looks over and he sees John the Beloved. Now, it's very noteworthy and really kind of shocking, if you ask me. I don't know where the brothers of Jesus was. They didn't show up. And I don't know where all the other disciples were, and they were not there, but there was one. There was one that knew Jesus a little bit better than everybody else. And many times in the Bible, Jesus refers to this one as the disciple. He refers to this one as John the Beloved. He refers to this one as the Beloved One. Many times you'll see that this is the one that is the very closest to Jesus. Now, by the way, isn't noteworthy how Jesus picked out the one that he knew how to exercise care? He knew that this was a one that was able to be not just passionate about what he did, but passionate about what he did with compassion. Isn't it amazing that he picked the one that showed the most care to him? Because probably that's going to be the one that shows the most care to his mother. And so he looks over at that one that is right there at his feet. And he says to that disciple, "Behold the woman. Behold my mother." And that day, all of a sudden, that disciple takes that which is the mother of Christ, the Bible says, into his own house. Now we know that John lived a long time. We know that John had a very long life. So no doubt he outlived Mary. And during those days, as God was giving John that which is a very vibrant life, and he had a body of energy, and he had a heart of compassion, no doubt he poured that heart of compassion with that body filled full of energy into the life of that which was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I want you to notice some things. I want to give you some very practical, common sense, shoe leather type of advice this morning on six ways that you can show your mother love. Six ways that you can love your mother. We're going to go right through them. Statement number one, love her, if you will, verbally. Love her verbally. You know, it never impressed a wife when a husband would come up and he would say, "My philosophy is I told her I loved her when I married her, and that was enough. And if I did change my mind, I'd tell her again." You know, that doesn't impress anyone. You know, a mother needs to hear the words from her children, and yes, even from a husband, of "I love you." Need to hear the encouraging words of "I appreciate you." Need to hear the encouraging words of "You're special to me." Need to hear the encouraging words, "There is nobody like you." And by the way, you can share some words even when you're having a bad day. You're having a bad day and all of a sudden you're fussing and you're fighting like some couples do. You could say, "I appreciate you, and there is nobody like you." And you could take and share different words at different times. Now be careful that you share them in an uplifting type of way. All right? And so use those verbal words. You can say that you love her and say it verbally. You know, my wife, we've been married since 1984, and something else happened in 1984. I entered into the ministry full-time in 1984. And so we've been married coming up on May 25th, 30 years, and I entered into the ministry right after Bible college in 1984, full-time, and been doing that for 30 years. So she has been with me all 30 years, walking together, holding hands, enjoying serving people for all of 30 years. The first couple of years, we lived in Brooklyn, New York. We lived in a very small type of apartment, and a very expensive type of apartment, but a very small type of apartment, and we served on staff there for a little over 2 years. And then we moved south. We went to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and in both of those places, I was a youth director. I remember us living in Brooklyn, New York, and she was 19 when we got married. I was 24, and so when we moved to Brooklyn, New York, she was my 19-year-old bride, and I remember us moving to Brooklyn, New York, and she was as old as some of the teenagers that was in my senior high department. And you have to understand, my wife is from Florida. She's a Floridian, and she has a little bit of a southern tone with the way that she graciously pronounces her words. And so here we are, and we're in Brooklyn, New York, and we just showed up, and she's not old enough to drive the church van, and she's not old enough to do many other things. And the teenagers would come around, and they would just say, "Speak to us." In case you don't know it, people that live in Brooklyn speak a little bit different than those that come from Florida. And so they would just gather around her and they would say, "Speak to us." Now, can I say that you ought to use your vocabulary, and you ought to be able to talk to people in such a way verbally that you encourage them? And when you use your vernacular, if you would please, to be able to pronunciate words that is meaningful to that which is the depth of your conversation, I'm going to tell you, it's going to mean something to your wife. It's going to mean something to your mother. So it's very important that you show that one that is your mother today, show her how much you love her by verbally expressing some things. Years ago, I used to collect some of the articles of Dear Abby. I don't even know if they're around today. I don't even know if she's living today. I have no idea. Is she still living today? She's gone. Okay. How many of you, we're going to see how old you are now. How many of you have ever heard of or you have read something that a Dear Abby wrote? Okay, got some readers and got some people there. Okay, years ago she wrote an article. It was about this man that enlisted into the military. He enlisted into the army right after Pearl Harbor. Kind of let you know the setting. And so right after Pearl Harbor, and after he enlisted, he was shipped off 36 days after he enlisted, right after Pearl Harbor took place. He was heading to the Philippines. The Philippines were invaded by the Japanese, and so he wound up in Australia. When he wound up in Australia, he fell in love with this Australian gal, and boy, it was almost like love at first sight, and boy, they got married pretty quick, and they stayed married, had a happy marriage for 57 years. And he said, I regret not sharing the words. And by the way, he lived on past that for many, many years, had the picture of her on his dresser. And he said, every time I look at that picture, I remember her last words. He said, I never said I love you. She always said I love you. I would always reply, me too. That was about it. But I never expressed the words, I love you. And all of a sudden now she is dead after 57 years of marriage. Her picture is up there on the dresser. And every time I looked at that picture, he said, it just reminded me that I did not say the words often enough. Because it was when I thought she was comatose and she's laying there in the bed, I held her hand and with great grief in my heart, I whispered in her ear, I love you, to which she replied, out of the comatose, not enough words shared too late. And she died. Now, can you imagine your life going through and you having every opportunity? You know, you've got opportunity today. If your wife is still alive, you've got opportunity today. If your mother is still alive, you've got opportunity today. But you say, Pastor, my mother is not perfect and my wife is not perfect, but I've got news for you. You're not perfect either. So maybe you could take and overlook just a couple of things. Maybe you could take and love them for who they are, not necessarily for what they do. And share with them verbally how much you love them. That's not going to cost you anything. That's not going to be taking money out of your bank. That's not going to be writing a check. That's not going to be using a credit card. That's not going to be causing things to erupt in an unordained fashion. But you could take and you could just simply share the words, Mom, I want you to know I love you. That's pretty good words to share on Mother's Day. Statement number one, love her, if you will, verbally. Statement number two, love her physically. Love her physically. You know, as married men, it ought to be that it's a natural thing for you and for your wife to hold hands. It's a natural thing to get sugar. No, not that you buy at the grocery store. I learned that when we lived in Mississippi for 8 years, you know what they shared when they were talking about kisses? They always, the people we hung around, called it sugar. Well, I don't know if we say that in Texas or not, but it's pretty good. You think about sugar, you think about something sweet. You think about something that gives you energy. You think about something that gives you excitability. Unless you're allergic to it like me and it just gives you an adverse effect. But when you think about sugar, you think about that which is neat stuff. You think about sweetening and stuff like that. Okay, now wait a minute. And so love her physically. You know a son could hold a mama's hand. You know a son could take mama out for a date. You know a daughter could serve mama breakfast in bed. You know a daughter could do some clothes around the house and not just wash them, but also dry them and also fold them and also put them away. You know a son could be able to become the chauffeur for mom and drive her to her favorite spots. Did you know that you could do some things physically to be able to help? You could just give a simple hug. You could be able, if you would please, to serve your mom her special drink while she's sitting in a chair. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're talking about mama, mama, mama. Don't you think they ought to do something for fathers? Come back on Father's Day and you hear about that. But you could be able to rub, you could be able to give a massage if you would please, you could be able to help and so many different ways. That you think about the way that she's helped you. She changed your diapers. She trained you when it came potty training time. She taught you how to walk. She taught you how to speak. She taught you how to be faithful. She taught you how to be thankful. She taught you, hey, write some things down, get yourself some 3x5 cards, carry them with you, and when you see that your dear mother all of a sudden lights up about something that she is interested in, write it down, save up for it, and go buy it all by yourself. Statement number one, love her verbally. Statement number two, love her physically. Statement number three, love her patiently. Love her patiently. You know, it will bring incredible joy to you if you learn to be patient with your mother. You will say, well, she has mood swings. Be patient. But sometimes she's up and sometimes she's down and sometimes she's both ways at the same time. Be patient. Well, sometimes she wants me here right now and then she wants me gone as soon as I get there. Be patient. Be patient with that one that you call mother. Well, you know, Mom, how come you're not cooking my favorite meal tonight? Well, Mom, when is supper? Don't you know I'm hungry? Be patient. Mom, come on, where'd you put my school books? You're always cleaning up after me. Be patient. Mom, where's the money for lunch? Where's the money for supper? Mom, come on, you're supposed to be doing my homework and you know it. Be patient. Be patient in trying to help people. When she prepares that hearty dinner, be thankful. Give a smile and be patient. Many years ago, somebody wrote about an 80-year-old mother. And then the 80-year-old mother, it was getting close to her 81st birthday. As she's getting close to her 81st birthday, she said, I wanted to jot down some things for you as my children to understand. These are intangible things, but these things are important to me. I would like for you to come and sit with me sometimes because after all, I get lonely. I'd like for you to come and sit with me and you can talk with me if you want or you can just sit there in silence. It's just the fact of us being close together that means so much to me. I need your patience, this 80-year-old mother is saying. I need your patience. First off, may I say, I need your patience when it comes to me repeating things over and over again. That just comes with old age. I need your patience as I'm a little bit slower than you are. I'm not as quick to think, and I'm not as quick to walk, and I'm not as quick to respond. I'm a little bit older than you are. I need your patience when it comes to my personal care. You see, I don't spell like I used to. I don't pronunciate the words like I used to when I pronounce them. Sometimes I lose things, I put them down, and I can't find them for weeks. I consider it a great victory when I can actually figure out my own bank statements. Sometimes I forget what medicine I have taken, so I wind up taking it twice. Sometimes I forget that I have taken it, and so sometimes I think I've taken it when I've not taken it. I'm just a mixed up person. I take often naps. I sleep most of the day simply because most of the time I'm bored. I have nobody to talk to nor someone to talk to me. I just need patience in my life. I'm not looking for expensive gifts. You know, if you decide not to do any of these things, you decide never to spend time with me, never to communicate with me, it's okay, because I have read in my Bible, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so if you decide that I need to live my life all by myself, it's okay. I've learned to do it already. But I hope you'll give me some patience. I mean, I say, listen, patience is a very important thing. We live in Western civilization. Everything is hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. You get in a rush, don't you? I do. And all of a sudden you're in a hurry to get someplace, and so you'll pull up to the stop sign or you'll pull up to the red light, and you can't wait to get out there and be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish, only to find out that traffic has already beat you to it, and you wind up sitting in line anyway. And if we're not careful, we become very impatient. impatient with the way we live our life, impatient with the way we deal with others, impatient with the way that we think, impatient with the way we respond. My Bible says, make not haste. Talks about not being hasty. Talks about those people that are hasty many times will make wrong decisions. Statement number one, love her verbally. Statement number two, love her physically. Statement number three, love her patiently. Statement number three, or number four rather, love her attentively. Give that sympathetic ear. Now we as men, have you figured out, we are built different than women, even in our mental capacity. You go by the nursery and it happens all the time. A little boy in there and he has a car. And he's vroom, 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 has an airplane. Little girl is over there. They say the average man speaks 10,000 words a day. They say the average woman speaks 25,000 words a day. The only problem with that is you spoke your 10,000 before you came home, and she's just starting when you get home. Built differently. You know, there has to be a time when we are patient one with another. The man, many times over, he just wants the facts and only the facts. Give me the facts. The dear lady wants all the details. And she wants you to listen detail-y to the same degree that she is detailing. Be patient. I'm so glad that God made men and women different in every capacity of living. I'm so glad that my wife is not facts. I like facts. But I'm so glad that she is just not facts. I'm so glad that she needs my ear to listen through when she gives a story. I'm glad about that. I'm glad when my wife communicates, she communicates with emotion. I like that. Because you see, in my household, it would be pretty boring if everybody was like me. And so understand that you need to love her attentively. Children, love your parents attentively. Attentively. Listen to your mom when your mom is speaking, but don't just listen to her shortly in order to escape. Give her time as she speaks. Listen to her with your heart. Used to be when my little Rebecca was, now was little Rebecca, that I would not listen to her. So you know what she used to do? She used to sit on my lap, take my face, pull it towards her and say, are you listening now? There's a way to get that attention. So attentively listen. One mother had a son that was convicted of manslaughter. He had taken an axe and he had killed 37 people. When asked about how she felt about her son, she said, he's a good boy. There is just something about a mother that will always think the children are angelic. Let me give you one more thing and I'm done. Love her verbally, love her physically, love her patiently, love her attentively. Last one, here we go. Love her gratefully, and lastly, honorably. Love her gratefully. Be grateful for all that she does. There was a study of magnets in an elementary school, and they studied magnets all week long. And so the teacher wanted to see what they have learned and said, now give me a 6-letter word that begins with M and picks up things. Little child raised the hand and said, mother. Somebody was trying to teach somebody a math equation, and they said, now, in this math equation, you're going to have to make a decision of who's going to get the piece of the pie and who isn't. And so we only have 9 pieces of pie, and you have 10 people in the room. Who is it, and they started to teach the math equation. Then they brought it down to a child having to make a choice of who's not going to get the piece of pie. And one little child raised the hand and said, well, that would be mother. She always serves everybody else first. Honorable. The book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, says, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. It's the only commandment that you see in the Ten Commandments, if you will, that was given with promise. The Bible talks about when a person gets married, there's the leaving and the cleaving act. The Bible talks about when a person will take and they honor their father, they honor their mother. God says, I just want you to know, I'm going to give you a promise with that. We have taught our young people here at Parkside Baptist Church that you love your parents. We do not try and steal the hearts of the children, but we try to point the children's hearts back to the parents. You know why? Because that's what the Bible teaches, number one. Number two, we need a generation of young people that's going to rise up and call their mother blessed, and going to rise up and they're going to count themselves blessed as they have fathers that love the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, it's important for us to understand that being a mother is a wonderful thing. And if you have a mother today, you treat her like a trophy. You treat her like she's special. You treat her like she really is. Do something today. Don't let it pass away. Do something today that will help you put thoughts in your mind about how much you love and should love your mother. For many years, I was kind of stubborn. My mom died when she was 57. My dad died when he was 50. She died 54. Daddy died at age 57. And so, of course, we were married, my wife and I, when my mom went home to be with the Lord. And Mother's Day would come around, and I wouldn't do anything for my wife. Because I had this thought, well, you're not my mother. Nobody can take the place of mama. And you're not my mother. Well, I grew a little bit since then. And it wasn't because my wife nagged me or anything like that. She's been a perfect wife. But it wasn't because she would come to me and say, now, you know, you need to. And no. It's just as the longer we stayed married and the more that I grew closer to my wife in many, many different aspects, even on Mother's Day, now you're not going to like this if you're married, but even on Mother's Day, I honor my wife as mother. Now, not my mother. Mother of our precious children. But, wow, does she deserve honor? I think of this, and I'm done. I think of all the times, and of course, our oldest son sits on the platform right here, Jonathan Stan, and 27, married, Heather's up was in the balcony a moment ago. Where's she at, Brother Bontegal? Where's my wife? My boy's wife. Stan. It's not my wife. My wife is my mother. Don't confuse me. And so there's Heather. God's been good to us. Thank you. Be seated. Josh, Stan, where you at? He's on camera, okay? You know, another young man. Man, I'm honored. I think Jared's in the B Sunday school and be preaching hour. Rebecca, where's my little, not my little girl. Where's Rebecca? Stan. God's been good to me. Now my wife, Stan, if you will. Watch this. This is a duh. God has been so good that God has brought us together, and in bringing us together, we've been able to raise godly kids. Can I tell you? It's not a single trip. It's working together, praying together. It's serving together, struggling together, sacrificing together, making hard choices together, disciplining together, giving wisdom together. Every decision we've ever made in life, from Brooklyn, New York, all the way here to Texas, has always been together. Amen. Now, may I say, it's a time to be able to honor those that are mothers in your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.